So, welcome to Thriving Abroad, Inspiring Expat Interviews podcast. I'm Louise Wiles, director and co-founder of Thriving Abroad, where we help couples create lives and careers they love while living overseas. Now, we created this podcast to share expat stories to inspire you and expert advice to help you navigate expat life. And I'm thrilled to be welcoming to this week's edition of Expat Interviews, Naomi Hathaway. Hi, Naomi.
Hi, how are you, Louise? Thank you so much.
I'm great. And thanks for joining me today. Now, I first spoke to Naomi, I think a good 5, 6, it might even be 7 years ago now, when she was an expat living in Delhi. We'll hear all about that in a minute. And since then, she has moved to live in Singapore and then repatriated to the US, living first in Florida and then in Northern Virginia, where she currently utilises her relocation skills in running her real estate and relocation company, Eighth and Home. Now, people may also know Naomi from the Facebook group, I Am a Triangle, an online community for people who have lived their lives in other countries and cultures, either as a child or an adult. So a lot's been going on in your life since we last spoke, Naomi.
There has been so much going on, and it's funny because if I would have said back when you and I first met, I think it was 2008, 2009, that this would have been where my life went, I probably wouldn't have believed you. It's been a crazy ride.
Yeah, I think if we often all think that, don't we? We link back to where we started and imagine, yeah, that what happened would happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe it, yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Naomi, can you start by just giving us a bit of background? I mean, I just briefly introduced us, but I mentioned in India. So what did you do pre-India? What led up to India?
I originally, before we left for India, we were living in Ohio, in a very a town that was very gloomy and gray, and filled with a lot of snow. And at the time, I remember just thinking, you know, it would be so nice to go somewhere where it was a little sunnier and a little warmer. I didn't probably quite imagine that place needed to be New Delhi. But I was, at the time, a stay-at-home mom. We had 3 children. At the time, they were pretty little, 3 years old, 6 years old, and going on 15. My husband worked full-time, and I did a lot of volunteering, working in the school, running some different organizations. And my husband came home one day, and it's a long story, but eventually we ended up saying yes to the opportunity in Delhi, and life has definitely not been the same since.
Absolutely. And I mean, you wrote your, and you still have the blog, well, yeah, still on your website, the blog posts from Delhi are still there, aren't they, live? Because
yes.
I was talking the other day. So, yeah. So if anyone wants to read about your experience, or if anyone's, you know, about to move to Delhi, that's a great wealth of information and stories that would, I'm sure, be very, very useful. So you moved to Delhi, and then you lived in Delhi for 3 years, was it?
Yes, we were in Delhi for 3 years. It was a plan to stay quite a bit longer, but I got sick with chikungunya, which is a mosquito-borne virus, and the company moved us to Singapore with the intention that would help me to recover and get better. Our time in India was cut short,
right.
You know, earlier than we had planned, but yeah, it was 3 years.
Yeah, and quite a contrast, I should think, going from Delhi to Singapore.
In every single way, it was the opposite. And you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, that must have been such a relief to be able to go to Singapore and have it be clean and easy access to things. And it wasn't all a good move. You know, there was a lot that we missed about India having moved to Singapore because there was such a contrast.
I can imagine. So, what did you miss? Give me some examples.
Oh my goodness, the food. I mean, Singapore is amazing, but I still miss food in Delhi, and just the color and the noise and the music, and the culture and the celebrations, and you know, we raised our kids during such a pivotal part of their lives while we were in Delhi, and so it was just interesting to watch everyone kind of settle into what felt kind of void. Singapore does have a lot of life and color and all of those things, but in contrast to Delhi, it felt quite a bit paler, I guess, in comparison.
Yeah, I suppose it doesn't have quite that sense of colour. For me, Singapore talk, and I've never been to Singapore, so I really probably can't say, but from the impressions from the outside looking in, yeah, gateway to Asia and all that is, which is, for me, colourful and vibrant and everything, but perhaps a bit more clinical than actually,
Yes.
yeah.
Clinical is a great word. That's a good word for what I was trying to grasp. It's very clean and neat and wonderful. But some of, I think, what as expats we cling to and really love is the chaos and the crazy. And there's not a lot of that in Singapore. So they're both lovely places to live, but definitely different.
So then following Singapore, you went back to the States. And so today what I wanted to really focus on and talk with you about was the role that volunteering has played in your life, both at home and abroad. And you say on your blog that only two things are required in life. One is to show up, and the second is to be kind. And I just wondered, I mean, perhaps
Yeah.
to the volunteering thing, I wonder how you live out this philosophy in your own life.
Well, it's interesting because I really do believe that. I believe that there's a whole lot of other things not to have as a part of our everyday. But if you focus on those two things, if you treat everyone that you come in contact with in your day with kindness, the ripple effect of that is so huge. I think that we don't give enough credit to that. And an example can be something as silly as being at the grocery and coming into contact with the person that's ringing up your purchases, and just a split second moment of kindness over the other alternative that can impact his or her day and impact every single person that they come into contact the rest of the day. And then the ripple is just huge.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've
People that I work with, just to lead with kindness. And then showing up is, it might seem simplistic, but I think a lot of people, and sometimes me included, forget that it's just about lacing up your tennis shoes and showing up. If you show up, you don't have to be the best person for the job. You don't have to know what you're doing. But if you show up, your intention has been set that you're able to help and give of your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've just one thing that you just sparked me to think about as you were talking about being kind and taking that time is just last week I was at the Family and Global Transitions conference.
Yes.
The keynote was given by Christopher O'Shaughnessy, and he was talking about empathy. He was also linking sort of empathy because that was the theme of the conference, but he empathy in global life, and he was linking that to the fact that people are becoming lonelier, there's a lot more isolation than there ever used to be. And he was saying, he gave this quote that just really struck me, and it was that every interaction gives or takes life. There's no such thing as a mutual interaction. And if we all think about that as we go through our daily lives and try to make each interaction as positive as possible, it really will make a difference to people.
I love that.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Great.
There isn't such a thing as a neutral interaction. It's either positive or it's negative. I really like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, showing up, I think that probably has a lot to do with volunteering, doesn't it? Because I think often people will think about volunteering and then wonder, well, do I really have anything to offer? Do I have what they really want and need? And
Right.
perhaps talk themselves out of it. So tell me about how you've shown up in the sense of volunteering.
Well, I guess I would probably say that my mom had a huge part in instilling that concept of always finding a spot that you can give of yourself. So we were volunteering young, as children, and then as I grew into adulthood, I really started to get kind of a buzz off of volunteering, being able to show up to something, impact what next time, and it's the band of volunteers that come together that help make an organization run, and being able to give small snippets of your time really appealed to me with volunteering. So I've done a number of different volunteering things when we were first in the United States before we went overseas, and then when we went overseas, there was this interesting dynamic of all of a sudden, especially in India, where we had people that were hired to help with our household, I had so much less to do in my day. Even no cooking, no grocery shopping, someone was driving us. And I found myself with literally all day long at my disposal. So I jumped right in and found some really great organizations to volunteer with. And it completely changed my experience living in Delhi for the better, for several reasons. One, because of the impact it has when you give of yourself to somebody else, and because of the amazing relationships that I formed with other volunteers. So it was,
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. In what ways did it help you to integrate and build your life abroad? Well, so it helped you to integrate into the, well, perhaps not into the local community, but it helped you to be a part of that, I guess, in some way, but also with the expat population as well, working together on projects. Would that be fair to say?
It is, yeah, that's totally right. And I find it, you know, I'm a little bit, I was lucky because we had small children with us at the time. And so when you have children living abroad, sometimes that's an automatic introduction to a friend group, just because you're all dropping off kids at school at the same time. But outside of that, for people that aren't in the school system, volunteering to me is such a great way to start to integrate, especially if it's an organization as well as expats. It can sometimes be such a great fast-track introduction to people that you can form lifelong friendships with. And because you're all giving of yourself and showing up and being kind, you kind of know right off the bat that your ethics and your value systems align, because everyone's in the same place working together for the same good. So it's something I would highly encourage folks to do when they find themselves, whether at home or abroad. It, you know, it's really no different where you're located.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think probably it's fair to say that often volunteering is undervalued. I think perhaps in the expat community, it's something that people see the expat partner doing, and it's kind of labelled as, well, they've got to do something, so that's what they do. And it's not seen to have the value that perhaps going out and doing a job would have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying mm-hmm. that's the right way to look at it at all. But then when there's people, you know, I think, and I have observed, I've had experience, I've been involved in voluntary roles, and you really do, if you really do get involved in them, you give so much and you actually learn so much as well. You develop new skills. And I think they're all very applicable to the sort of formal working world, if you like. But often you put them on your CV and then they just don't seem to count for anything.
Right.
Yeah, and so you get back to your home country or wherever you go next, and you apply for jobs, and your experience in that voluntary role is seen as a career gap rather than of career relevance. Is that something that you've experienced?
Well, I haven't experienced it to a certain level, only because when we moved back to the United States, I kind of created my own career. So it wasn't something where I needed to prove to anyone that I was qualified for it. So in that way, I didn't have that situation. But I have on my, like, for instance, on my LinkedIn profile, I have linked everything that I did in a volunteer capacity, but you can word it so that it holds just as much weight as if you had been paid for the position. With every volunteer opportunity, I think that you can give yourself a title, which I think is a big part of solving that career gap. I think that also if someone's using LinkedIn and they're trying to build up, you know, a case study for what they did while they were overseas, having people give recommendations or testimonials to the work that you did in that volunteer capacity, to me, holds just as much weight as a colleague inside of an organization where everyone's being paid a salary. And I think that the more we shift our minds to understand that volunteerism is just as important as the career when someone's moving overseas, we'll start to see a shift where people in the career zone start to look at volunteerism as holding equal merit, but that it's up to expats who have been in that position of having the volunteer slash career gap to start to refocus the way that the world thinks about our volunteerism.
Yeah. And I think that is perhaps a cultural thing as well, because I think in the States, volunteerism is much more appreciated than in other countries. For example, I lived in Portugal for a while, and there isn't the same culture around charity and giving as there perhaps is in the States or the UK. And because there is such a strong bond to family and extended family and support through family, there's a different kind of approach. And yeah, perhaps those voluntary positions aren't appreciating quite the same way. So tell me a little bit about the types of voluntary work you did in Delhi. What were the projects you were involved in?
Most intriguing was a program called Make a Difference, and we called it MAD. And what we did was, the school that my children attended, the American Embassy School, had a slum literally across the street, and we helped to develop a curriculum. There was a group of, I think, 8 or 10 of us, and we worked closely with the U.S. ambassador's wife to develop an English curriculum. And so once or twice a week, the kids would walk over from the slum, and we would have them in a classroom. And it was such a fun, engaging experience to help teach these kiddos English. They wanted to learn. They knew that their potential for earnings as they grew into adulthood would be greatly impacted by knowing English, just based on the different jobs that they could have with such a large expat community in Delhi, if they knew English. And it's such a simple thing that we all take for granted. But that was probably one of the most fun things that I did. I also served as the president of the American Women's Association in Delhi for a couple of years. And that was really neat too, to be able to just show up, like we've been talking about. And I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never done something like that. I'd never served in a capacity like that. But I think the other piece of the pie, when you talk about volunteering, that needs to be considered is it's about the team that you work with and about the other people. And I was surrounded by some really amazing women in that organization, and we did some great things together based on the fact that we all showed up and we all, put our heads together and said, what can we do to help make this organization better over the 2 years that we served together? So
Excellent.
that was really.
Excellent. That's a really good advantage, good example of how, working with other people, you can probably share experiences and acquire new skills by learning from them and them from you. And
Absolutely.
working towards creating. I guess it actually feeds into this whole confidence thing as well, doesn't it? Which I think is another issue often for expat partners, who perhaps don't work for a while. They will say that, oh, I've lost confidence, I've lost touch with my sort of profession, if you like, but also, the more time you're not doing it, the less you feel that you are capable of doing it. But if you're
Right.
actually managing to hone your skills, develop them through voluntary roles, then actually that feeds into your confidence and self-belief as well.
Well, yeah, and another thing that I just remembered, I started a school tour program at the American School in Delhi, and I think that sometimes you can create your own volunteer experiences based on something, a need that you see that needs to be met. I was frustrated because when we came to Delhi, I didn't have anyone that could take our kids around the school to help them feel more comfortable before school actually started, and so I worked with the administration. Again, gathered a group of people, and now there's a school tour program so that kids don't feel as awkward on that first day of school. And again, it's volunteering doesn't have to be something where you go to an organization that already has the volunteering segments or jobs lined out. You can create by filling the need that you see, especially as you move from place to place. There's a lot of gaps that might need to be filled, and I think that we can jump in and kind of do those on our own. And like you were talking about with confidence, there's no bigger confidence builder than looking back and seeing that you started something that was needed.
Yeah, absolutely. So demonstrating, so using your initiative and creativity and filling gaps. Excellent. And so you've then moved to Singapore and then back to the States. And how have you sort of continued with the volunteering side of, because you've set up your business as well. So I'm wondering, actually, I guess your personal experience of relocation has fed into that, but also probably, are you aware that you're drawing on skills that you've developed through your volunteering roles in terms of building your business and also with the community, the I Am a Triangle community?
Yeah, it's very interesting actually, Louise, because I in the past 6 months have been looking back on my experiences from living overseas, and it's been very clear that the time that I spent volunteering and learning about organizations and NGOs and even businesses while I volunteered has been really, really important as I grow my own business. And looking at the way that I run my business from a leadership standpoint and in enabling and encouraging those that work with me and alongside me to take their roles, do what they do best. We're not all expected to be good at everything, but we can bring onto our team people that help round out all of the edges. And I think that was something that by volunteering, I could really see visually how much it is important that we have multiple people serving in the roles that fit them best. And that's something that I can carry over to business. And with the I Am a Triangle, it's been fascinating to watch that community grow and see how everyone has different experiences and personal stories. And we need all of them together to make the whole picture work the way it works.
Absolutely, yes. And so tell us a little about I Am a Triangle. I mean, that grew from a blog post you wrote, I think, didn't it? Is that am I right in saying
Yes.
it? Yes, because I remember reading the blog post, and that was what, three years ago or so?
Yes, it was exactly 3 years ago. When we repatriated, I had a really hard first year, and my mother, who serves as a missionary in Kenya, shared the concept with me of being one shape in your home country and moving to another country that's a whole different shape and then melding it all together when you come back home. And I wrote a blog post just kind of absentmindedly, just kind of threw my thoughts down.
They're always
And
the best ones,
I think so too. And then over the course of several months, I started getting hundreds and hundreds of emails. And out of a desire to help support everyone, I couldn't keep up with everybody. And the stories were heavy and enlightening and inspiring and everything all at once. And so I created the Facebook group, I'm a Triangle, in the effort to kind of let everyone support everyone else. And it has it's. It's I think we're at 4,600 members now,
Wow.
3 years. So it's grown, and it's a special community that I'm extremely proud of. I'm really happy to watch the growth and the community that everyone's participating in.
Yeah. And it's fantastic to, I mean, you're absolutely right. And it is a really vibrant community as well, isn't it? So if you're listening to this and you're not part of it, you can go to Facebook and join I Am a Triangle. And it is a very vibrant one with a lot of discussion from so many different perspectives, aren't there? Which is fantastic. And you've just started setting up physical meeting, a physical community, aren't that well, one that's related to different locations. Am I right in thinking that? Tri Connect.
Yes.
Yes.
Tri Connect. Yep. We heard what the group was asking for, and one of the things that was missing, although you pointed out something great, that there are so many different perspectives. We have private sector, we have foreign service, we have military, missionaries, we have people from all walks of life that have been overseas for all different reasons, and it's one of the few places where everyone's communicating in one group and sharing. So that's pretty exciting. But one of the things that we found was missing is people wanted to have someone that they physically could give a hug to or could sit down and have a coffee with. So we have launched the Tri Connects. We are in, I believe, 67 cities, and I think that we have had 14 of those cities have already had their first meeting, which has been really fantastic. And I think that to go back to the volunteering discussion, the Tri Connects are going to be pivotal in helping us grow the impactfulness of the Triangle Group so that we can really have kind of boots on the ground, if you will, to help encourage people to then go out as a group and volunteer or find different opportunities and find different organizations that might need our experiences.
Fantastic. So if you're listening and you want to join I Am a Triangle, you can also find out about the 14 different cities. But I think that's growing, isn't it? You've got a long list, I seem to remember,
Yes,
or you
yeah, we
indicated
do.
through it, but
There's over 60 cities that have leadership in place, and they're just waiting for the groups to grow to the point where they can have regular gatherings.
So
But
how many people do you believe you need for regular gatherings?
that's up to each individual leader. We're empowering the leaders to run that on their own. So some feel comfortable having just two or three, and then others want it to be a little more organized, and some of the bigger ones have 10 to 12 people. But it goes back to what I've learned over my time, that it's important to have leadership in place that does have that empowering, confidence building. And it's kind of funny because that they actually get to use that on their CV.
Yes, absolutely. So the they're organizing and growing something new, and and I love the idea about people coming together and being inspired to, from this group, go out and do other things in the local community, volunteering and so forth. I think it's a fantastic concept. So I'm conscious of time, and we try to keep these to 30 minutes. I think we're just about there. I want to thank you for your time. It's been lovely talking to you and hearing about your volunteering experiences. I think there's been a bit of interference on this call. I will try and edit it out, but if you're listening post-edit, I'm sorry, apologies, but I don't think I didn't. I just wanted to carry on because there's more value in what was being said, and I know that has been recorded, so we've carried on with it. So thank you, Naomi. If you'd like to contact or connect with Naomi, you can do so through the Facebook group I Am a Triangle, and also via LinkedIn. That's right, Naomi. Anything else? Any other way of contacting you? Or yeah.
No, those are some two great ways. Thank you so much for our chat. I feel like, as always, we could spend hours and hours talking,
Now
but thank you for having me.
goes so quickly. And the links are all provided on the blog that links to this podcast interview. So if you're listening now, that's you go back to Thriving Abroad to the blog, you'll find the links there. So if you've enjoyed this episode of Inspiring Expat Interviews, please subscribe and leave a review for us on iTunes. We need reviews, so please go in and leave one there for us. And if you'd like to know more about what we do at Thriving Abroad, you can find us at www.thrivingabroad.com or on our Thriving Abroad Facebook page and on Twitter, where we're at Thriving Abroad. And if you're an expat who's interested in making the most of your international experience and sharing wisdom and tips in a safe private environment, then ask to join our closed Thriving Abroad Facebook group. Thanks very much for listening, and stay tuned for our next conversation about successful life and work abroad.